September the 9th. September 9th, month, 17th day, 2014. I'd like to establish a quorum, please.
Karen Ward.
Here.
Kathy Agin, present.
Stu Martinez, present.
Greg Jones, present.
Connor Parker, present.
And the mayor is present. If you'll join me in a Pledge of Allegiance, I'll ask Linda to lead us, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Linda. I will ask straight out, are there any added agenda items? And I know there are because I have the list in front of me. I think what we will do is after the public comments, we will add public comments regarding response for Sheriff in Huntington Meadows. And what do we need the...
The rest would just go at the end. One is a land use planning agreement to hire a new planner. That's okay. Professional services agreement. I guess actually we have it on here, so that's, she has it in the added edition. It's actually on the agenda anyway. Don't worry about that. We have a ODOT with the First Street traffic signal. We have to approve, basically, we're going to have to fund moving some fire hydrants. When they put in the signal.
We can't hear you.
Why we shut the door?
We heard that.
That's the first time someone has said they don't hear me. That is unusual. So, and if you can't. I can scream louder, but no one in my life has said that. So now I'm actually honored. We need to add the ODOT First Street issue with some fire hydrant moving. And then also we have a change order for our sidewalk project for Vic Russell, which we signed invoice tonight, but I want to make sure we approve that. It's a change order on our sidewalks. And I think that's all. Now someone put in here it's a barbecue, but I don't believe that's just go to the order thing. That's not an agenda item.
I will add both those items after item 12, water management and conservation plan. We'll go first then to the First Street and 97 agenda item and the professional service agreement for planning fees. Okay. Item number 5 is the consent agenda. And I'll ask if there's any comments regarding the agenda, the consent agenda.
If I may.
Yes, you may.
Mr. Mayor, I need to state a possible conflict of interest with the bill payable to Wilderness Garbage.
Let it be noted in the record. Is there a motion, any discussion about the consent agenda? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
The consent agenda is approved unanimously. And at this time, we move to public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? We will have another public comment later. Name and address. Date of birth. Type of car. Would you come on up, please?
Well, it wasn't really a comment other than to be added to the agenda. I think my boss, Bill Scally, was planning on coming in and addressing the council about a possible donation, and I don't see him here yet. So I don't. I was going to ask if we could be added in case he shows up later.
Excuse me, but he was on the agenda for next month.
Next month?
Yes, October 8th. Oh, that's what Terry Byers and him had set up.
Because we had a meeting last Friday, and it was my understanding to be here today.
No. We will go.
So much for communication.
Staff is set.
Yeah, that's fine.
Thank you very much.
Thank you anyway.
Any further public comment? Hearing none, we'll move to the next item, which is public comment regarding response from Sheriff in Huntington Meadows. And is there a spokesperson for that? Please come up and join us. I think you can push the red button down and it will...
I can't just stand here and turn around with no microphone.
You're here to present to the council.
I am. I have to push the red button?
If you want to be heard by everybody.
Mr. Mayor, Mr. Allen, councilors, thank you for allowing us into your chambers on such short notice. I am Susan McDonough, and I'm the secretary for the Huntington Meadows HOA, and I'm also a homeowner in Huntington Meadows. I have had it brought to my attention by fellow neighbors, not just owners, renters also, that Huntington Meadows is having problems with thefts off of porches, out of yards, gas being stolen out of cars. Two nights ago, two neighbors have personal cameras set up, floodlights set up to catch the culprits, and they did. They chased them down to Huntington and Finley Butte, where the police were called. After that, I don't know if any report was made, what happened to them. Supposedly, they live on Cassidy Drive, but I don't know that for a fact. I don't know how many occasions there are, and I don't have the items that were stolen or misplaced. I don't have that information for you. But canvassing the neighborhood and letting them know that we have problems, the question arose that numerous times the police have been called and they don't show up, or they show up or call 48, 72 hours later. It's too late and it's really unacceptable. And we deserve police presence in our neighborhood. We deserve to be answered when we call. And so many times I have heard of our neighborhood as being that kind of a neighborhood. I'm tired of the comment of living in that kind of a neighborhood. Mr. Mayor, you and your lovely wife 2 years ago came to our kind of neighborhood and helped us with a neighborhood cleanup. And I know if we were that kind, that she wouldn't have been there. And nor would you. You know, we are not that kind of a neighborhood. We are a retired group of people. We have young families. We do have renters. The majority, I believe, are homeowners. And we're respectable people. And we deserve police presence when we call. So I speak on behalf of the Huntington Meadows and as a homeowner. And I expect the police department to show up when we call. Thank you.
You're welcome. Is there anybody else that would like to speak to the issue? Your name and address, please.
Okay. My name is Renee Poulin, and my address is 16447 Riley Drive in Huntington Meadows. We just purchased our house in May 25th, and I have heard thousands of things about my neighborhood after I've moved in. And if I would have known what's been going on and how hard these people have been trying to change it, we may not have bought there. And there's no reason why, when we need the police, that they can't come. They should be there. And I found out prostitution was going on in that neighborhood, drugs go on in that neighborhood, theft. It's not okay. And we don't need to say that side of Highway 97. I've heard that many times, and I've only been here since May. And it's not right. And I want to thank the neighborhood, the people that are here that are trying to make it better. And I'm also on the HOA now, too. So, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Carl, my name's Carl Patrick, 15604 Cassidy Court. I'm extremely tired of having my stuff taken. I'm extremely tired of having an iron cross taken. When we catch the kids stealing gas, we had to go to the sheriff's department and get them. I'm tired of it. Please do something.
Any others?
Mason Perryman, 16417 Heath Drive.
Mason
Perryman. Yeah.
Okay.
I walk that street every night. I'm the one that caught the guys. We try and get the sheriff to come over. They won't. I've stood in front of that sheriff's department for 2 hours. While their cars run, they don't do nothing. They sit in there all night. They hide. I walk there every night, up and down that street. Never see a sheriff. I go up to Gordy's. They'll follow me all the way there. They'll follow me all the way back. They get to the edge of the neighborhood. They turn around. They come back to their little apartment here and hang out. They don't want to go back in there. They don't want to find nobody. Call them back in there. They don't want nothing to do with it. There's no revenue in it for them. There's no traffic ticket in it for them. I don't understand. And I'm sick of it. They know there's a theft problem. They call it, the sheriffs themselves call it all kinds of names back in there, but they don't want to drive in there. They don't want to do anything about it. Sick of it.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to add something else. I have lived in some ghettos. And I'm talking ghettos you people wouldn't drive through during the day that don't have problems that neighborhood has. Get the sheriff involved.
Yes. Yes.
Any others? Hearing none, I would just like to say that, and maybe I can say this on behalf of the council, that we do appreciate you coming in to deliver this message to us. We are thoroughly interested in this whole problem. We have had meetings here in the city hall with the sheriff's department, and I would ask the council to let's discuss this and see what we can do about getting the sheriff there. And again, I want to thank you very much for coming this evening and describing this situation, because I hope each one of you know that Huntington Meadows is just as important a part of the community as any other part of this community is. And I think we have a responsibility to be listening and doing to the kinds of things you describe. So again, thank you very much.
Thank you.
At this time, we will have the, which is item number 7, proclamation for Bob Shotwell Day. I will read the proclamation as soon as All right. This is the City of Lapine Proclamation. Whereas, on June the 14th, 1944, the United States of America was engaged in a world war against countries who would look to imprint their beliefs on the free democracies of the world. And, whereas, on June the 14th, 1944, a day that would become known as D-Day, Robert Shotwell was an 18-year-old private with the 149th Amphibious Combat Engineers landing in the first wave of the Dog Red section of Omaha Beach. And whereas that part of Omaha Beach was 5 miles long and defended by the German Army, who had every inch of the beach pre-sighted for accurate firing of mortars, machine guns, and 88-millimeter cannons. And whereas the slaughter started before soldiers disembarked, where the first wave was almost decimated, and whereas on the afternoon of June the 14th, 1944, Private Robert Shotwell and others, under the face of heavy machine gun fire, cleared a path on the beach of landmines and wire for troops to advance to the bluffs. And whereas on D-Day, June the 14th, 1944, of the 40 combat engineers who landed on Dog Red in the first wave, only 4 were alive, one of the 4 being 18-year-old Private Bob Shotwell. Therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of Lapine, Oregon, hereby proclaims November the 10th, 2014, the day before Veterans Day, Private Bob Shotwell Day in the City of Lapine. We ask all schools, residences, businesses, and public buildings to display the flag of the United States of America to honor Private Robert Shotwell and all other veterans. Dated this 17th day of September 2014 by the City Council of Lapine and endorsed by all of the councilors. I'd just like to say that I consider this one of the most momentous things that we can do. We have a hero in our midst. And we know of all of the trials and tribulations that our veterans go through. And I think this is one of the ways that we, as a community, can honor and give back to these veterans, and in this case, specifically, a World War II veteran who faced death and barely made it through. I'd also like to thank our president of the City Council for his bringing this forward and allowing us to make this tribute to Private Robert Shotwell this evening.
Thank you.
Yes, please.
This project was brought to my attention by Dick Tobiasen, who is the president of the Bend Heroes Foundation. And they honor World War II, well, any veterans, really. He is also in charge of the Honor Flight, which I've taken part in a couple times. But he ran me down at the Madras Air Show and said, we need to do something for Bob Shotwell. And everybody, I think, in the community who's been here a while knows of Bob and, you know, his surviving D-Day. But there was another project that they're involved in at the Bend Heroes Foundation, and that's, besides the Honor Flight, is they're trying to find all the survivors from D-Day, which there aren't a lot left. You know, we're losing World War II veterans at an astounding rate, but let alone the ones that survived D-Day. And what they're doing is they're bringing sand back from Omaha Beach and presenting it to these survivors. and Dick was telling me that when they bring the sand back, it has to go through a screening process to make sure there's no bacteria or anything in it.
Critters.
Yeah, to get back into the United States. And through the analysis, they have found metal from the shrapnel and the bombs that were, you know, launched that day, still washing up on that shore today. So when we thought of this, it's like, okay, we think it's a good idea, but is Bob going to let us do this? Because Bob sometimes is pretty quiet about his World War II experiences. So a couple of us got together and went out and talked to Bob, and he's just turned 90 years old, and you'd think he's a little, frail and everything, which he is, but his mind is still sharp. But he goes, we were sitting there talking to him, and he goes, "You're darn right, let's do it." I thought he broke his hand. He was so forceful with that. But he did it twice. But he says, as long as it's a teaching experience. So that's why this will take place at the high school auditorium. And we're going to get the kids involved. But there'll be invitations going out to the whole community. So please turn out, not just out for Bob, but for all the veterans and the students. It's going to be at the high school auditorium, and a lot of the students will be involved. So a little history on why we're doing it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Stu. Item number 8 is discussion on intergovernmental agreement, the Vineland Conveyance Project. Mr. Albert.
Mr. Mayor, City Council, Jerry Albert, work at City Hall. I live on 55344 Big River Drive. It's my pleasure to present or discuss with you this evening a pending draft agreement between the City of Lapine and Deschutes County. Mr. Allen had told me that the big crowd here this evening was to people who were also excited about the agreement, so I guess maybe that's not necessarily the case, but I, for one, am excited.
Excuse me, Gary, would you, is your red button pushed?
Can you hear me?
No. Hello?
There we go. All right, sorry, I thought it had been left on. So, you have two handouts in front of you. One is the actual, one is titled the Intergovernmental Agreement Lapine Land Conveyance Project, which is a draft version, the most recent draft version of the actual agreement. I'd also taken a moment to hand out a very first draft original thinking on this that occurred back on January of this year. I had discovered through some research that the City of Redmond had entered into an agreement back in 2004 with the county to transfer industrial property within Redmond and to give the City of Redmond a great deal of flexibility in how that land was represented, marketed, and sold within their community for business and economic development purposes. So I went to work on that idea. We went through it in the month of February with the Lapine Economic Development Council, or advisory board that I report to, and presented an original proposal to the county back in May. This draft that you see dated, at least my copy is dated August 25th, 2014, is the county's response. And I can walk through the points of it if you haven't had a chance to read through. I'll just give you kind of the highlights, but I'd be happy to go into any degree of detail that you might be interested in.
I think the council all got this, and I'm not sure about you, Tommy.
I may have gotten it,
Okay. If you'd like to just proceed to questions, that'd be fine also.
I think we'll proceed to questions, Council.
I have one.
Okay.
Good. Carry on. Okay. Just let you know, this is because we have not talked about it, some of the council members have, so it's always important that the rest of you get up to speed. The county owns the bulk of it, well, other than what's been sold. most of the industrial land back there. And, you know, it's a checkerboard. There are lots that are, of course, privately owned. So one of the issues that's been frustrating for Jerry and Liggy and now our new lead is Jerry goes out and he finds a client. And then, one of the first things I always want to know is what's going to cost for a lot. You know, is it $1 a foot, $2 a foot? Is it $100 grand, $50 grand for an acre? You know, those are all big issues to people. And he has to say, well, I don't know. And then if he kind of quotes a price, then it has to go through the whole county bureaucracy, which literally could be months. So we went to them, met, Jerry and Ed Cope could put together kind of a draft. We met with the whole Hee-Haw gang down there a few months ago and said, wouldn't we like to do something a little different where we could control the pricing? And actually the county responded quite well. So what this really does in a nutshell is takes the land and turns over the responsibility of it to us. And we're then free to sell the land, come up with a price, a little easier for Jerry, and then we'll help come up with some pricing ranges, but based on job creation. Now there's one company, they're gonna employ one person part-time at 10 an hour. Well, maybe they pay about 50 a foot. The next company is gonna buy an acre, and they're gonna have 50 employees paying $30 an hour. Well, maybe they only pay 50 cents a foot because it's about job creation. And that's what Prineville and those places do. That's how you get Facebooks. You know, one company pays different than the next. And it's based on job creation and its value and importance to the community and other factors. So we'll be able to do that now. Then the good thing in here, we then get to keep 50-50 after costs. So we'll be able to build up a fund that will come back to the city, and then we can use it for, it has to be used for economic development, isn't that right, Jerry?
Right.
Kind of could help pay for stuff. He's going to trade conferences and things. And so that's how it works. So we go sell a $100,000 piece of land, and after expenses, we don't know what those are, but whatever, so it clears out at $75,000 or something. But we'll get, actually, you have to take those off the top, but it comes out of our piece. So you don't know what those costs are. Bottom line is we'll build up a fund that stays here in our city budget to be used for economic development purposes in the industrial park. It's not heading over to do rodeo grounds. It's for the industrial development. So it's a pretty neat deal. And I think it's a 5-year.
It's a 5-year agreement, that's right. And we believe that the county came back and essentially reflected, they came back with what we think is just a fantastic agreement. They've met all of our objectives, our original goals that were reflected on the second sheet that I handed you, which basically implied we wanted more local control because the county are not involved in actively marketing any of the industrial lands in the whole county area. They don't even have them listed on the multiple listing service. So in part, there's a marketing and sales aspect to this where we get to take that over. We incur any cost or expenses associated with that, which would come out of our end of the proceeds that we have, prospects that are in the pipeline, for these things. That's one of the points of clarification, but we did just recently bring a party to the table who optioned 5 acres in the park in August. We like to see, one of the clarifications we seek is whether something like that is included or excluded from this deal before it's actually executed as a contract or an IGA between the city and the county. But that one particular deal that we did bring into the park represents a gross purchase price of $220,000. We had zero marketing costs associated with it, so our share would be half of that, total value that we would be looking to reinvest in, various ways to promote economic development within the community, especially within the park. But I think how that money is going to be spent, we certainly believe that the agreement will direct it towards economic purposes, but I think the council will have an opportunity to weigh in on how that money might be spent and most effectively employed.
Okay, council, any comments or thoughts? I'd like to go ahead, Ken.
Are we also able to give them a break on taxes?
There's a different statewide program that Lapine participates in called Enterprise Zone, that offers qualifying businesses the opportunity to receive breaks on property taxes from 3 to 5 and even 15 years in rural areas like Lapine. But those are individual deal-by-deal situations that are evaluated based on their job creation merits.
I just feel that this is what we've needed for a long time. You've been trying to do your job with your hands tied behind your back. So I think this is going to be an excellent step, and hopefully things will smooth out for you from here on out.
Thank you.
Stu, any comments?
Yeah, this has been in the works in one form or another since we incorporated. Alan Unger tried to push a couple things through, but at the time, a couple county commissioners were not in favor of it. So this is, a long time process that's been, I'm glad you were there to help push it along.
Great. I wasn't aware of all the history there.
Yes, it goes back, I think Kitty could attest to it, it goes back since incorporation, because that was one of the biggest assets of the incorporated city had, was its industrial park.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, give credit to Tom Anderson, because I think he's on the turn to turn the meeting the day we were there, because he when he found out that they'd already recovered all their costs back there, and then remember he asked, and he's like, well, how much did we spend back there? And the staff told him, and he's, what did we take in? Well, they were in the black, $250,000. And that just changed like his tone was, well, then we have a lot more flexibility. If there was still money owed, they might have set a minimum price.
Right.
Because they don't want you to get, But once he found out, then he figures, I think, the citizens of Deschutes County have been made whole. They're actually in the black. And so therefore, now let's get the thing, sell the stuff, and get to paying taxes and get jobs created. So he kind of directed this out, because I think they were more in tune to set some minimums, and we're going to be a little more. So it worked. It was a great meeting. Worked its way, but somebody takes that leadership, and he's the county administrator, and I think that when he set that tone, smoothed right along. And Susan Ross just called or left me an email just a couple hours ago, and she wants to meet and go over it. And Jerry's right. That one that they deal out there, that wasn't. He said, well, Rick, we got to get a piece of that since. So I said, well, we're retroactive on that one, and they actually emailed me back and basically said yes. So we'll probably get that somehow worked into the agreement. There could be some other changes. It's not for approval tonight. Staff still got to work on it, but it's...
I would definitely second that regarding Tom Anderson. I think he just totally, he just sort of like, give me the high points. What's your vision on this? I shared that with him. Because we had actually gone through a more formal route to have EDCO's attorneys draft a formal agreement that was pretty much based on the Redmond Desert Rise industrial property from 10 years ago. And Tom just sort of took this and I think directed staff to reflect a very simple and straightforward agreement. As commented, we want a couple of clarifications is what we will be recommending back to Rick to speak to the county about. But we think this has got excellent short-term potential and fantastic long-term potential. Just so you have a sense of the scope of things, there are 320 acres total in the industrial park, about 180 of which are available for sale now. Three of those are large certified parcels, state certified parcels in the 20 acre range, and any one of those would represent $500,000 or $500,000 to the city if we sold any of the big ones. Naturally, we're going to start working on the smaller, 1, 2, 3 acre parcels first, but all told over time, I know Rick likes to think in terms of 10 and 20 year horizons, and over a period of time, this could represent substantial economic development funding for the city of Lapine that we're pretty excited about.
It is exciting. Greg, did you
few comments? Echo everybody's comments. It's really exciting to see finally getting to the point where you can actually tell them what the price is and market the stuff. You can't sell cars if you don't know what the price is. Right?
It's normally about 2 to 3 months between the point of request by an interested business to get a response back from the county. That's the cycle that we've seen in this year.
Yeah, it's wonderful to hear about this.
I didn't know how hard it was if for a company to want to buy property in the industrial park. Because that, after 2 or 3 months, you could have already found someplace else, got your property, and started getting things going. And so to hear that we can now do it, just deal with us and the, you know, company who wants to come in instead of having to go through all sorts of other branches is wonderful. And I think, hopefully, it'll open up lots of opportunities for jobs. And that's a good thing to hear.
I just want to make a quick comment. You know, the agreement is quite generous, but I think it's been said about the view of where the property was and is, and Tom's leadership and guidance. But you spoke to, and Conrad has, this really will allow us to facilitate that. Going from, hey, we'd like to do this, and us saying yes. And it doesn't, and you spoke to the couple of months, that's true. Now that's out of the picture, so that's, I love it. So, Stu, you had another comment, please?
Just going through it today, real quick. Down paragraph or page 2, number 6. Or it says the sale or conveyance shall not include any leases, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
That's a significant area of clarification that we seek from that we will be seeking from the county going through, you know, with back to Rick. There are, you know, several clauses here that relate to lease options, and it's not clear to us whether they're referring to purchase options also. Or lease options, because we are aware that there is a limited number of parcels that in fact are leased. It's not a common practice with the county, but there are some actual lease, you know, parcels there, leased out parcels. And we don't particularly have any interest in those. That's why we're seeking clarification. But if they are intending that language to reference purchase options, the two that, you know, would be of interest, the most recent would be Cascade Divide that we helped bring to the table that just, you know, closed the option paperwork last month in August for 5 acres, two and a half acre parcels. The other big one has been, you know, around for a while, BioGreen, with the 28 acre parcel there in the park that's been, you know, the option has been extended for 4 years running and maybe extended for a number of years to come before any real development work or building begins. But those are the two significant parcels that have been purchase optioned, and that's one of the significant clarifications we seek from the county.
And then page 3, 11. Further, the city acknowledges that based upon the city's own inspection and investigating, you know, toxic, radioactive. So the city's going to pay to have that tested? Because there probably is some sites out there that has some nasty stuff out there.
So that's a good, worthwhile call. That's the first time that possibility has been brought to my attention, and I'd be happy to, you know, take that under advisement and back to our economic board of advisors, of which you're a member, and see, you know, how best to approach that. It was our initial reaction that most of the actual terms for this agreement were covered on page 2. And that the rest of the agreement seemed to be a relatively standard boilerplate language that the county uses for all contract and intergovernmental agreements. Okay. So that's certainly one that would be worth, you know, further investigation and additional clarification.
They deem unbuildable. So you want to make sure.
But we wouldn't sell a lot that's unbuildable. So.
Okay.
I mean, first of all, Jeremy, believe me, that we going through it. But this is the county. I mean, what we, when we sell a lot, we, you know, we may have in our agreement whoever we're selling it to says, you know,
as is.
Yeah, and as is. This is between the county and us. They're just saying, is, you know, I think it makes sense to me. And if they're saying we're going to turn it over to you to sell, we're not going to get drug into your fights. You know, so you need to, if you think that there's something wrong with that lot, don't sell it. because the county isn't going to be down looking at it. They're kind of handing it over to us, so you can't kind of get it both ways. They're either in it or they're out of it. They're out of it, so they're just saying, hey, it's up to you guys. So yeah, well, any lot we would have to know, is it in a wetland or is it got something, and that's just all part of it.
So that would be
just all us. Yeah, because we're basically selling it on behalf of the county.
I do think, in follow-up to Rick's remarks there, I think a reasonable interpretation is that, you know, there is an obligation to the city to have an understanding as to whether a lot is sellable or not. And certainly any of the industrial business prospects that we're dealing with will go through proper permitting, both, you know, at the local as well as the regional and state level, including DEQ, as that may be required. So certainly testing will be required in some of those situations, but if there is any reason to suspect a given parcel by anybody in the city, then we should tag that, flag it, and either decide to test it or pull it off of the table from any potential sale.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll come back again in probably a couple months, in reality, once these attorneys get going.
Okay. Number 9 is approval of planning services and planning director. You have that in front of you, Adams Planning and Development Services.
You should have a little resume, kind of, you know, a little, you should have had that went out here.
Yeah, it's tag number 9.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, we've been looking for, I guess what I'm going to ask you is to approve us hiring him and authorizing me to sign an agreement once it's worked out. He's actually on vacation that was long scheduled, gone. Bill Adams has been, he's basically semi-retired and has worked at Klamath County, City of Redmond. You know, they hired him when the boom was going, they needed extra help, he went in and helped them. And he's been in the business a lot of years. He currently is Jefferson County's they have a part-time planner, and he goes down there one day a week or three times a month. And then, of course, the rest of it's by phone and whatever applications there are. So he's technically the county planner for Jefferson County at this time. That's the only other client I think he has. He does a few private clients. And he had talked to me about this months ago, and then I kind of sent around to the folks like Nick Lelak and Nick Sneed, the community development director in Madras, and I sent it down to Redmond, and all of them kind of said, why don't you talk to Bill Adams? And so I called him up, and he came down here, and we drove around, and we looked at the park plans, industrial parks, and we got out, walked around some subdivisions, and we drove through Crescent Creek and Huntington Meadows. So we saw the spectrums of things here. So he then sent the proposal back. $60 an hour would be his contract price. We're paying, I think, $90 or $95 right now. So, and then in July, we'll go up to $65. We will have office hours. The plan is 3 Wednesdays, and we may move him. Ashley was thinking moving to Tuesday, or actually move the
planning commission meeting to Tuesday so that Schutz County Development is here, our planning director's here, our planning meeting's on Tuesday. Tuesday is your day for planning.
Good idea.
Yeah, and then because, you know, now that she's here, you know, yesterday when I had she was here and there was something came in on a code type thing, it was possibly a building type of issue, you know, I just went over and gave it to her and I said, hey, and so then she told me to go look at it and I went out and looked at it and it turned out not to be an issue for them. But it was nice just having her here. So by having the planner here at the same time she is, because that way the public can come in and could talk to both. So the plan is he'd come in the afternoons, you know, noon, 1 o'clock, and then work till 5 o'clock on the second, third, and fourth Tuesdays. I want to get it down to 3 because of the money side of it. And if we get more busy because, you know, we have to fund it out of the general fund mostly, it depends on our planning fees, so we don't know what we're going to take in. But most of the people coming by aren't collecting a lot of money. It's all kicking tires. And they like you to become their consultants, is what really happens. you know, over time, we'll get that dial in. But he's good with that. So that's the plan, to actually have hours.
Okay. Council, any comments or questions, anything? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the hiring of planning director with the stipulation that the city manager work out the details.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all of those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Okay, we've got a planning director.
He's going to start the first as a whole
session. Of October?
Yeah, he's going to need to be gone for a few more days, and then we got to get this agreement. He hasn't even seen this agreement. I mailed or emailed it to him. But.
Okay. Item 9 is approval of planning services. Number 10, excuse me. Selection of company for streetscape Bimark right-of-way project. And you have that in front of you, Blue River.
Yeah, you got the three. Yes, we took this to the Public Works Committee, and they discussed it. And we had three people responded to the proposal, and you can see the prices. And Little River, they were all applying, some river area-based companies, was the cheapest. And they are ready to proceed. She told me they're in between a job waiting for something, so she said they get right on it if we get them going. So we'll go down and we're going to take out the wildflowers there, and then they're going to have some dirt, mound that up. They'll have to change a couple sprinklers around, and it'll get sodded and look all good before winter sets in. So right. We'll be done in 3 weeks once we say yes. And it's not too expensive a job, so I think I'm going to keep the contract minimal if you're all comfortable with this, or else we could spend $1,000 in a month building the contract. And on a $6,000 project, I think I can kind of handle that by driving by, and I watch the dirt and I watch the sod, and if it has sod and it's dirt, it's probably good. So we may skip a process.
Council, any questions? Any? Yeah. We okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, then I'll entertain a motion to approve the agreement.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye. Opposed?
It's passed unanimously, and I think it's a great thing. I think it's.
Yeah, it'll be nice to see what it looks like and going to the new trail, the new bike trails, and the lights. I see they're starting to put a light up out here today. They're actually running wire through the lines, and there's a light clear down on the end on a truck. It's sitting there sideways. They just haven't raised it because they're getting the wire. So all the parts are here.
I could say I just don't believe it, but I won't.
Yeah, they were out there. There's wire. Yeah.
Along with this, Council, I'd like to mention that in a meeting with Bill Anderson, who is the CEO of Mid-Oregon Credit Union, I mentioned they bought the property next to St. Vincent de Paul to eventually build a credit union. And in the EDCO board meeting that we held here, I had an opportunity to talk to him, and I mentioned to him that that's a real ugly looking site, and it's just a carpet of netweed, and would he consider doing something about it? And he said, absolutely, you give me the information and we'll take care of it. So I went to County Vegetation, and they gave me some names and what he needed to do with it. Start with a mowing, then do a pre-emergent, and then in the spring do an emergent spraying, and they're going to get on that right away. So we'll have a nice clean piece of property across the street and some green grass on the east side. Okay.
Well, on that topic, I met with him, the chairman of the board of the bank last week in Bend on the building, the design, and the architecture and the landscaping. So I'm laying the groundwork for what we'd like it to look like. And that's, again, you got to get on these things, set the bar high, and so they seem to be buying into it. I want to work with their architects. We don't have any design codes that could force them to do some of the things, so we're asking them. And looking down the road, and they seem to be receptive, you know, to a lot of it. So we'll see where that ends up.
Okay. You know, another exciting time, Bob. Item number 11 is interim finance manager position.
There's nothing on that.
Okay.
It was nothing. You know, we got to fill these positions, and so Summer's going to be here, I think, on Monday, but she was here for this. Well, we've all been here this week since Monday because the auditors were here. They were cleaning up as the wards came in early, and the auditors were in. That table was full, and they just finished up. We just did our, so we're doing, we're like months ahead this time, so it's kind of a reverse. We were way behind, had to get an extension last year for, because everything runs a year behind. This year, we're like the first audit in the state of Oregon. That's good. And, you know, it's the normal stuff. The preliminary issues were, you know, separation of duties, which everybody gets, and those kind of things. But as far as the number of items that are, you know, way, way reduced. And so Summer wanted to wrap that up. So, you know, we put out a kind of a request for proposals and or for employment, and we didn't receive much.
We received anything really, maybe more.
Yeah, so it is a tough, tough position. And I just cannot see us going back where we were. We've spent a year and a half and thousands getting out of it. So we certainly can't go back. So we called Brenda Bartlett, who had worked with us before, and she works for Steve Greer, SGA is the company in Bend, and she does audits. So if, like, these people are coming in, she does audits for other communities. That's part of what she does, and she tends to do a lot of government stuff. And she helped us a lot when Lori left prior to Summer getting here. And so we went to her and said, hey, you know, how would you like to maybe do a day a week for your firm? And she thought it was going to be 2 days a week, and then she said no. Then when that was before I got into it, and then I got into it with her and started, you know, kind of paring this thing down. And one thing, Ashley's doing a lot of things that, you know, so I think we can get by with a day a week, and once in a while there'll be a couple days. She didn't like that idea, and she in fact wants to do it. And she has been bugging me to do it. In fact, she didn't just want to do it for a month or two. She says, couldn't we try it for a year or something? And I said, you know, we can. So I then quick put out a 1 week RFQ, request for qualifications. She responded, half hour before the deadline. And we also then did send it to other firms. So not only is it on our website, we actually sent it to other firms. Didn't get a call. So it sounds like we'll be coming in with a, we're going to have a work just hourly like you'd hire anyone for right now. But we'll come back probably next month, and I'll have a professional services agreement with that firm, much like we did for the planning company. And it'll be, you know, so much an hour. And, you know, you do pay more per hour. This is a CPA and it's a firm. It's more than we're paying Summer, you know, not that big of a deal. But, you know, it's what we have to do, I believe, and I'm assuming you guys do on this finance. I don't know what else we do.
It's what we need.
Yeah, we have to.
Yeah.
Really. So, look for that. So, Brenda's going to come down Monday. Summer will be here Monday, and we'll start seeing her. And then she's got another lady in there she's going to train, and she's not going to charge us for her to come down, one of them, Lurman Cassell. And you know, so they'll be down here, and then they can do some of the off-site stuff. So between Ashley and me and them, we'll be able to, I think, keep things rolling along pretty well. You know, and we'll be able to test it. If we need more, then we'll have to figure that out. But, you know, for our size city, now that things are smooth, you know, people that are good at this stuff, you can do a lot of work in a few hours, you know. So, is that?
Okay.
We need not to go back. We need to go forward.
Yeah.
And I heard training this new person who knows Denver Road.
What's that? Oh, you mean the person they're training?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right. And maybe someone's going to retire someday and look for a little part-time job. So I thought maybe somebody was looking for that. So we'll see. There just aren't a lot of options. So you know, there's not a darn thing we can do.
And it's not just the city of the county.
No.
It's everybody is faced with this kind of need for a person who has the skills and the mental capacity to keep it all together. So I like where we've come from and plan to go to. Item number 12 is water management conservation plan.
Scott's gonna, you know, water is...
It's this Oregon sheet.
It's an old Oregon sheet. He'll tell you what we got, and then we'll hit on another couple topics maybe. But water is one of those things that doesn't excite people. Don't worry, we won't fill a room. But as an issue for a community, it's actually huge. But you know, the public, and it's true everywhere, if I turn on a faucet, I expect water to come out. And when I flush a toilet, it's to go away. And how that all happened, they really don't care. And then of course, they'll care about the bill side of it.
Yes.
But you know, water, trying to get keep and maximize these water rights are key. And we have to keep making sure we have a 20 and 30 year supply of water. And you have to then guess ahead on growth and fill in. And you cannot turn these around in a year or two or three or four. And this thing he's going to tell you about there was about 6 years, 5 years just getting approved. And all it was is a conservation plan. So nothing is easy, it's slow, costs a lot of money. And so with that first part of this, Scott, tell them what you did and what it gained us.
Well, yeah, it's pretty neat on two levels. One, just because it got approved and we've been working on it since 2009 or 10. It's the Water Management Conservation Plan, and it's a detail to the state of Oregon of how the city of Lapine is going to conserve the water they're letting. There's a stipulation in there for meter testing. The fact that we do meter, that we charge extra for more water that we use. Those are all parts of it. The really good part is until this was approved by the department, we were on a water curtailment. So we were only allowed about 600 gallons a minute. And since this is approved, we're back up to our full 1,000 gallons a minute.
So you just think about that. We were 600-ish, and now we're at 1,000. And currently, on our peak day, just for comparison, is in July, obviously. Depending on year, it's different, but it's usually July or August. And we figured out, when we were working with BioGreen, that we were at 300 gallons per minute is the maximum flow. Of course, that's a hot day, and everybody's got their sprinklers running. And so when you go from 600 to 1,000, see the problem is if you've got 600 gallons a minute and you're already using 300 and some, you have to have some, a little room in there, and you start to get nervous. So now we have a good cushion that got us up to this 1,000 GPM. And we didn't have to pay or buy anything, you just had to get this darn thing approved.
Nice.
So Dick Norrad worked on that for us. He worked on it with the districts, and Dick did a good job with this. And I think he's pretty proud of it.
Isn't this what we engaged him for last year or something? Because he had worked on it before.
Yeah, we had to do this kind of in a hurry when we came here from the districts. This was ongoing. Their first review happened in 2012. Or they decided there was some part of it they didn't like in 2012, and then all of a sudden we had to get this going right then.
A second piece just on water rights, which I won't say much because they're kind of a sticky thing, but we did today. Scott and I spent some time with some water rights folks on water rights, acquiring some water rights. We have 1.6
2.4, I believe.
CFS?
Yeah.
CFS. And of course, don't even try to worry about gallons per minute, acre feet, CFS, and mitigation credits. Don't worry about it. But bottom line is, we have 1.4 CFS additional water right we can acquire, which would be, how many gallons a minute do we figure today?
400.
About 400 gallons a minute. That gives 1,400 gallons a minute. And you probably have your 20, 30 years at least, you know, supply, and you're in good shape if you can go for industrial customers. One of the requirements, since they acquired this, the districts did a long time ago, but one of the things you had to do was you have to acquire some, they're called mitigation credits. And you have to buy those, find those. And so, again, boring topic, but they are, it's quite a deal. And so I've been working on this. I've met some other people here in the region. And so today we met with a broker. And then Scott made some calls after that meeting. And so we may have some other things. We may come to you here soon and purchase a credit or two or three or four. Now, how many credits do we need, Scott?
405, ultimately.
But this is something you may buy them one at a time. It is an unbelievable thing. It literally, if you don't handle this, if you really took it to the end, what would happen? You would have a moratorium on growth.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so it's. And the money involved is interesting. So, I'm spending time on that, so if you wonder where we're at or what we're doing, it is that stuff, and we're going to dive more into this now that we've kind of got some of these other things done. Then the third thing we did this week, Monday, we spent, and Ashley was with us 2 or 3 hours, with the water rate sewer SDC study that we hired a long time ago. And so this was our first kind of run at that. And so today, Scott and I spent some time. We had to go through basically improvement plan, that's a capital improvement plan, as to what kind of things we would need in the future, because when you figure SDCs and rates, this all has to get modeled into this. So took out some things and changed some things. And on the sewer piece, Scott's going to work on that tomorrow. An example is, when they did the capital improvement plan, what things we need ahead in the sewer, they have
$2.8 million
to acquire land to put the effluent on. Well, guess what? We haven't from the BLM. So that reduces that capital list by $2.8 million.
And the SDC?
Well, all of this will correlate out.
Yeah.
And so that's what we just did water. We went through the water today, and then sewer tomorrow, Ashley was, you know, we're all feeling around there, as you all will when you get the results, but we it's still rough drafts, you know, and so we'll know more actually in the next month. Probably we'll have a special, I think that'll be a topic only night.
Good.
Water, sewer rates methodology. They are looking at probably going to a flow-based for the sewer, so people will not pay just on a set amount. It's how much water you use in the winter months. And we were talking about November to March. So they take those meter readings, and you assume then, you know, you're not watering lawns in the time of year, and so pretty much every gallon in is used in the house, and then that is how you calculate the sewer rate. And we're going to then give some actual customer, we'll take some miscellaneous customers and let them run a pro forma as how it will affect various industry, commercial, residential, duplex, multifamily. And that just will give you a thing. Bottom line is, right now, we are losing money in both. Which we know that because you had the water rate study before I came back from the RGAC did the PowerPoint. Some of you were on the council somewhere, and he came down here and said that you needed to have a 40% rate increase over 2 years because you were losing money. Well, these guys don't have those kind of numbers in there like that, but definitely right now, if you look at the costs, you know, and the, because the water rates haven't risen since they started. They did the same rates in 2014 that they opened with in 2002. That's 12 years. Well, 12 years of inflation and wages and benefits and things. So, I mean, there's no way. But, so they probably were charging maybe more than they needed at the early days. They built up some reserves, and then what's happened is if it's 2 degree, you use them, and they get, they're camouflaged. You kind of don't know. And so now where the point is crossed the other way. So what we'll do is, I think we'll come in here and have a full day type meeting with them and go through it all and kind of educate. Then we'll, you know, they'll come back. We'll do some public outreach. I think this is one we'll have some town halls. I may have to go out and hold meetings with groups, not council meetings, I mean with groups, and get the chamber and bring in some industrial folks and kind of, so you're going to have to kind of, you know, one person at a time educate, because we're doing two things, and this is what we talked about. It's a double whammy. One is you're changing how we charge, and then you're changing the rate you charge. So two things not to like. So double the dislike. Now if my bill dropped, I won't come in, and I'll be happy. But for every bill that drops, someone else's has to go up. I mean, there's no way around that. So it's going to be a real checkerboard of it all. But the reality is, and then you take what we just talked about, mitigation credits. That's something we have to figure in, because you have to pay for buying these mitigation credits. Because they're not free. So that's an expense. I mean, you know, it could be, I was figuring it out, and you know, you almost could add $5 a month per account to pay for mitigation credits. There's no way around it. You don't print money here. Talking to Eric today, he works for Sisters, and he was just saying an example was that they have a SDC, but then they have an additional fee that's on top of the SDC for new development?
Annexations.
And that's a fee for buying water rights, basically. Mm-hmm. See, the SDC is paying the pipes that are in the ground that have been built that all of you have paid for. But now you're going to have these mitigation credits that have to be bought. So when the new neighborhood, the Crescent Creek Phase 2, is built, well, they're going to require, you put 100 houses in there, well, they're going to require water. Well, then we have to go out and buy water rights. We have to buy mitigation credits. Someone's got to pay for that. So the way Sisters, although that's with an annexation, we're not doing any annexation. So there's a lot of ways to skin the cat. So we'll be trying to figure that all out also. Because the problem with SDCs only, how many SDCs do we take in this year? Not many. So that doesn't pay a bill. See, that's the problem. If you follow me on that, if you're going to spend $50,000 this year on mitigation credits, but you're only taking 10 in SDCs, well, someone else had to pay the difference. Now you can set up loans, you pay back. And there's all kinds of stuff. So it's fun ahead. It's going to be educational. I actually like it because it's all numbers, and you know, it's what we need to do. Yeah. So you guys are going to have to be tough. It'll be in this my round, this second round here with the city. This will be your test, because you will get you're going to get
pushback.
You are, and because it's a complicated topic. And people just are going to give anti responses because, you know, that's just, it's human nature. It doesn't matter what it is. So we'll have to, that's why I want to really work on educating those we can educate and, you know, move it from there.
Those are valid words, Rick, in that the council, in their need to be tough, has to start out by totally understanding the whole concept and what it's about, so that when we do get blasted or approached, we can roll off the reasons and not stammer around, well, I'll go look into it.
We'll try to get you some white papers. We have a sheet, like a one page. We were talking about over there was we need to divide it into two discussions. I mean, you take an hour and it's how you charge. Don't worry about the rate. It can stay the same as we have today. Don't worry. I think it's how you're going to change how we charge people and go to a flow based on sewer, and we're going to go to a meter size on water. Right now, if you have this is how inequitable it is. So I'm going to open up a hairdresser shop, and those are 2-for-1.
2-for-1, yeah.
2-for-1. So I'm going to put 6 stalls in a hair salon. They put in 6, that's 3, call it 3.
Oh, EDUs. No, backwards. It's 1-for-2. So if you have 6 seams, you have 12 EDUs.
What?
I'm pretty sure.
What?
In a hairdresser.
You mean they pay more than an EDU?
I think it is. I don't know.
Well,
anyway.
So, you know, so they would pay, they're safe. It's regardless of what, maybe it's not a hairdresser, something else, but they have 3, these called these EDUs. But they actually use less water than a house. The house pays $25 a month right now, and this place is paying $75. What you do under these systems is you have a minimum based off the meter size, then it's pretty much in flow based. And so the people who use water pay for it. Right now, probably half the people pay more than they should, whether they use the water or not. But guess what we're saying about the other half? They use, you know.
They're getting a deal.
They're getting a deal. So that's, and how do you educate people to this kind of thing? It's going to be real tough. So I think we need to talk about that whole system and why you go to that. But I think your argument ultimately is if you use it, you pay. This makes it equitable. Stu doesn't get a charger for 2 roll carts if you only use 1. I mean, you know, this is really, if you use it, you pay.
Sure.
And so I think we can get there with folks, or at least people that are open-minded.
And I think that's the fairest way there is, because it's simple and straightforward. If you use a gallon of water, you pay for it. I think that'll have its basis of conveying. It's simple, it's
yeah.
Right, yeah. And it'll be easy to convey.
You can compare it to mid-state.
Sure.
Turn the light switch on.
Kilowatt.
Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah. Then the second part of the discussion is now we have to raise rates.
Yeah.
So on one hand, people say, well, you know, what if we kept the current rates under a new system? This is what I pay. But I don't think we'll be going there. But so you're going to have these two issues. One is then you're also then figuring in a new rate that could have, I mean, a $10-$15 a month increase. I mean, a $25 water bill might become $35, and we don't know these numbers yet. But then, if you were a person who was overusing water, that $35 becomes $50. See,
right.
Because we went to flow base plus the rate went up. And if we weren't doing the rate increase, you're just doing this switcheroo. So now, then, there's going to be people who theirs will reduce so much, with the rate increase, they're still saving money.
Yeah. You know, we're very familiar with it in our water district. With you know, we had to raise rates, and the people that were using too much are still using too much. Not using too much, but using more, and their bill goes up above their raised anyway, so
yeah
we've had to cross that bridge.
So that'll probably be our October issue, maybe late October or sometime in October, middle October, something. We'll have a special meeting, I think, just to work on this topic. And then November-ish we'll start rolling out to the public, and probably get an approval in December, January, effective July 1. So people have months of notice. People can put it into rental rates if they pay for utilities and things like that. So we're doing lots of water and sewer. That's it.
Okay. With that, then we have inserted in the agenda US 97 and First Street agreement or letter.
Eric, you can come tell them about it. You're here. You can tell them what this is.
Sure.
He was here. We were working on another project today, and then he hung around and did some work on his own. And so he's here. You don't have this in front of you, probably, but that's fine.
I can speak to what's in it.
If you want this one, Eric, I'll read off the stews.
Oh, thank you. So essentially, ODOT is going to need to relocate some of the facilities. These are, for the most part, water system facilities. And since the city of Lapine has a permitted right to use the right-of-way, then rather than an easement, it's kind of complicated situation, but in effect, ODOT requires that the city of Lapine pays for all relocations of their utilities in the right-of-way. So this list includes all of the relocations, and some of them are just improvements that would be required as part of this project. Resetting the hydrants, for example, is getting them out of the way of the road surface. And we've added, see there on the bottom, concrete walk and bollards. So instead of having the hydrants set in the native soil, moving to a standard where there is a concrete pad surrounding the fire hydrant with steel bollards around it so that it's protected from vehicles hitting it. Yeah, so that would be an improvement to those hydrants as well.
So what we have to do is, the reason it's on the agenda, it needs to be, you guys need to approve it. We have to prepay. ODOT requires you prepay, and if it's less than that, they send it back. If it's a little more, you pay. So they want, you need to authorize us to basically enter into this, and then we'll make payment. You'll get that next month or whatever, whenever they tell us to, but we may not pay yet, but we will be paying them.
And these costs are all conservatively high. These are from the ODOT. They're standard bid amounts for these different bid items, and they're on the high side. So it's very likely that the cost will come in less than this.
Yeah, the $600 bollard, he called. He's not going to call him, but you decided. I mean, they have a nice story for it. These are all private contracts, and you don't blame the state. I mean, this will be a bid out job. So it'll be private business that will bid this, but you know, when you get into the state specs and all of that, the bollard has to be a certain thickness and it has to go a certain depth, and then you fill it full of concrete, and it's probably got to have the top rounded off, and you've got a Davis Bacon person doing it. And yeah. So this will come out of the water
and
water
sewer. Parts are sewer.
So we'll divide it. So it'll come out of our water sewer funds to pay for this. There's no way around it. It'll be improved. The fire department was happy. Scott went over.
They sent a copy of the bollard detail to our fire chief. He was real happy with it. Happy to get them. So.
We need to put those around the hydrants. They sit out there. Yeah. Just remember when this one got hit, you know, you're asking for it if you do not have something for them to hit when they curve, turn too sharp. They need something to hit that'll stop them. So, you know what, we'll probably have more of these come along now that we're getting into WICCIUP in this project. So, if you would approve that.
All right. And,
thank you.
You're welcome. Council, are there any further questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the ad work letter agreement.
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimously approved. Okay, and this professional services agreement?
Where did that, when that?
Oh, did we?
That was for the.
Okay, all right. So we are at public comment.
We had one other, oh, there's a, she's just gonna pass that around. This is a change, it's a change order with, that we did on the sidewalks. It's already done, but I just want you to.
Because they already signed the check.
Yeah, you already signed the check. But I always like to get you, you know, because we go out, we did a job, and then, you know, there's always a few change orders on any capital projects. This was a $1,800, you can see. We added some more concrete, base rock, had to bring an excavator in for an ADA ramp. I'm not sure where that was, but.
Okay.
Anyway, that is.
That's for this work right here.
Actually, I think this is.
No, it's for by Martin Huntington.
Over there.
Okay.
This one's pretty well done.
One more that we'll get at the next meeting. I talked to Vic about it yesterday. But that's for wiring electrical. For the streetlights that are back when there. And they got the price down on that quite a bit. They came from two sources instead of one, and it ended up saving us almost $2,000. So.
Good. Council, any questions on this change order? Hearing none. Is there a motion to approve the change order?
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded to approve the change order. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing no opposition, we have a unanimous approval. Thank you. Is this?
Well, Dad, I just put in your file.
Just so that you know about it.
Oh.
Yeah, because it's coming up on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
That's
So at this point, we are at item 14, which is public comment. And any public comment? Linda?
I'll be brief.
Who and where?
As brief as I can. Linda Johnson, 51322 Preble Way. I'm an NE in the city. So I want to thank you for your time, and I just wanted to put out a suggestion. You know, we had a very angry and frustrated group here tonight. I understand where they're coming from. And I don't want to speak for Kathy or Greg, but is there any way, and I know you're all overloaded. I only know a smidgen of what you're all into, and it just amazes me about how much stuff is going on now. But is there any way that you can reach out to Huntington Meadows? It's not just the police. It's other issues that they've got, and help them to bring it back to what it was. It was beautiful when it was first built, and they're just really struggling with tenants and homeowners that don't care and all kinds of problems. And I know, Rick, you're overloaded, but you also have a lot of really good ideas. If you could just download some of those. I mean, if we could do a joint effort and get the sheriff's department on board and work together and maybe use this as the template for what you're going to. I'd like to see some of their homeowners' rules and regulations. They merge right with the ordinances that you just passed as a city. You know, how do we go about implementing that? And not just with the homeowners association, but with the city ordinances. And bringing in the sheriff's department, they can't be there all the time, but maybe they've got some monitoring they could do, or you've got a lot of people here that have got some time to monitor some of that. I mean, do we need cameras? What do you need? They really need our help, and if we could reach out and help that community, that subdivision, become all that it's cleanup day and all that, to what it could be, then we could apply it to the others that don't even have homeowners associations. Because they've got problems too. So I just kind of want you, I know, you've got, if we could just get a meeting together and work together. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda. Any further public comment?
I Does this need the microphone thing on? Or so I just wanted to bring up to your attention again something that went out in email about an opportunity request that was routed through me to provide a letter of support for a request through the Ardell Group, who are the ones engaged in the geothermal project at the Newberry Crater. That's been a science project, a research and development project on potential energy from geothermal at the crater there. That project has been successful. They've hit a few stumbling blocks. They've had some private financing, but they're looking to be able to eventually commercialize that somewhere in the future. But over the near term immediate, the Department of Energy, the federal Department of Energy, have opened up a grant request to place a research center in a geothermically active area around the United States. I'm not an expert in this field, but I'm told that parts of the grant proposal are written in an optimal fashion around the Newberry Project Center. They've received some limited support in the past from the Department of Energy, and they are seeking, the Ardell Group are seeking support from local, regional, and state civic leaders in support of their request to locate this research facility here within our community. It's not within the city of Lapine, but it's certainly within our geography. There would be a number of full-time scientific project-based positions created that would be like year-round jobs, and a number of temporary project personnel rolling in throughout various companies that would be supporting this federal research project. There are several phases that start at a few million dollars and increase to tens of millions of dollars on an annual basis. It would be a really significant event if the organization were able to help attract the Department of Energy to base a research center around the Newberry Crater area. So we would like to, there is a deadline that their response is due essentially early in October, and we'd like to see if the City Council are open to it. Rick suggested that I draft a potential letter of support and provide that to you. We'd like to either do that between now and the next time that you meet, or not later than the next time that you meet. And if there are any questions, I'd be happy to address them now or later.
To be honest, normally if I write a letter of support, I know something about the topic I'm writing a letter on.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's what I was going to say.
Does that sound normal? Mm-hmm. And for me, to be honest, I know nothing about what they're doing in Newberry. they've been out there for years. Is it environmentally good, bad? Is it, what are they doing? So, it's not a letter I would write. I can't write. But if it, that's the thing, so I'm fine with it, but hopefully someone knows more about it than I do. Because I'll just say I don't know anything about it.
I do have the CEO of the company is prepared to come and answer any questions or provide a briefing. We're working with the chamber to do something just like that. So certainly nobody wants this to be done in the dark or in the blind.
Yeah.
And I can provide some of that information, but it's not an area that I have a lot of expertise in either. I have just a smidgen.
I may be the only person here willing to say it, but I don't know a thing about what they're doing.
But I'm pretty sure the CEO knows a pretty good deal about what they're doing
and of course.
What the project would entail.
Well, I would think that our next council meeting is on the 8th of October. Is that in time?
I'll have to double check. He had indicated the end of September was a critical date for him.
You can write. You can also write a letter. You put little disclaimers. Based on the information provided. That type of thing. Give you some.
And just to set a context here, I believe that EDCO are supporting this. The context is for economic development from a regional perspective. There is no implication of supporting you know, any technology or the actual science, because I think it is understood that, you know, the Bend Chamber of Commerce, the Bend City Council are also being approached, as are the county commissioners and our state senators and representatives. So up and down the foot, I don't think anybody has any more understanding than Rick from those organizations. But again, the CEO has made himself available. But we just got word of this a couple of days ago. It is a short notice cycle. We understand that.
We could have him come another time. We can get a letter out and then
have him come.
I told Jerry he could ghost write the letter.
I do think the endorsement would be from an economic perspective to have a federal agency locate a research facility here.
Sure.
But it doesn't relate to endorsing whatever
they do.
Whatever's going on underneath the volcano there. I don't.
Do they have a website?
They do, and I provided some links earlier, but I'd be happy, again, I've reviewed some of that material, and I'd be happy to go over it individually with any of you, or whatever makes the most sense.
Have you approached Led about this?
That's going to be on the next step, yes.
Okay, good. I think they're the ones to start with first, as far as letters of recommendation. Just bringing it to us, this on short notice, I'm not comfortable with that. So, but that's just me.
Comments, counsel? I think that just based upon the idea that we're talking about the establishment of a research center. Mm-hmm. Not the drilling, none of that. I think, and it's economic development, in my view, and I think the council is well placed to say, yeah, we want something like that, just based on the economic development side, and establishing a significant type of facility here where it may not be anywhere else.
Exactly.
And so I think for us saying that we support that on that basis is a logical thing to do. Granted, then we could have the CEO come back and explain what they're going to do around that. But if we're just talking about putting in a or supporting them going for this research center, I think that's on the surface very simple decision.
Right, right. This private group, the Ardell Group, are simply making the response to the Department of Energy for the Department of Energy to select to locate their own research facility, in this case at the Newberry Crater area, where they, the Ardell Group, have been engaged in some similar type of research in the past. But another idea, I'm aware that you know, we are reaching out to the chamber for both Lapine and Sun River as well, and I believe that there was discussion about the chamber board having some, you know, a Q&A session with the CEO. And so given that the timing may not line up quickly, but perhaps we could extend an invitation to the city council to join the chamber meeting with the CEO, where questions will be addressed and more briefing will be provided. That should occur within the next week.
If I may, being on the chamber board, we've arranged a special meeting on Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock over the chamber offices, and I'm under the impression that the CEO will be there.
Right. I didn't hear okay. The date and time yet, so thank you.
Thank you.
I was going to just have him, what he can do is he's going to write, you know, write a letter that we'd use, and I can send it around to you. We can read it, and then if we want to edit it some, and then we can kind of, you know, and I can send it out under my name. Okay. Then it's not tied to the elected officials.
Okay.
See, we're supposed to be the sacrificial.
No, because that operation, you know, things have been going on up there for at least 20 years. Mm-hmm. And it changes about every 10 years. And, you know, I'm all in favor of it, don't get me wrong, but I don't want to put a name to something that's going to turn around and, you know,
yeah, understood.
Blow up and cause an earthquake. Yeah.
Just to clarify, this would be a separate, you know, this is unrelated.
I know, but it's still connected.
It's correlated, but it would be the federal energy research.
But I like being sacrificial lamb.
Got it.
It's my
okay.
I definitely support that.
Thank you.
We'll send it around. You'll see it. Jerry will get it to me in a few days.
This week, yeah. Tomorrow, the next day. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Any further public comment? Kitty?
Is this on?
Is the red button push?
I turned it off when I...
Oh, okay. I can't tell. I have my contacts in, so I can't tell if it stayed pushed.
Speak into it.
Okay. Kitty Shields, 51540 Shields Drive. And I just want to say how glad I am to hear that the city plans on going to meter-based billing for utilities. That is the way I wanted it to be when the water district was formed. I was the lone voice on the commission at the time that wanted that, so it didn't go that way. Of course, you know this is going to be a very long, complicated, and costly thing to switch over. So for anyone who still believes, as some people did back in the early days of incorporation, that water and sewer districts are money makers, that's what we were told by a few people. Dispel the thought. No. All the money that comes in from the districts is needed, or from the utilities, is needed for the utilities. On a complete other subject, I'm hearing more and more and more from my customers that they can't wait until the city gets the Kegel subdivision sewered. So for your comfort level, that's just, like, you know, a nice thing to know. I'm getting more and more of that. People are getting real anxious.
Thank you, Kitty.
Welcome.
Staff comments.
Well, some of you will be going to League of Oregon Cities next week. Yeah. How many of you are going over there?
Planning.
Okay. So we are not meeting next. Well, that's why we met in the middle of this time. So we won't. Oh,
I'm going. So you gave me the eye. I'm going.
Well, and we'll have Ashley. Monitor.
Yes. Can't let me out in the big city.
I accept the responsibility of monitoring.
Well, she's staying. She's at the Phoenix Inn, you know.
No, I purposely booked somewhere other than Ken.
Are you not at the Phoenix Inn?
No.
I think I'm at the Phoenix.
No, I'm not. We're all at the Valley River Inn.
Oh, wow.
How did you end up moving?
Because everybody was booked 2 months ago.
Oh.
I went through 5 motels before I found this one.
Well, she was going to the Phoenix Inn. The fraternities are across the street, so
yeah.
She was going to be busy. No, it should be good. I'm glad that everyone will be there. So, let's see. We have been working on lots of code things, and so you know, I can only work on. In fact, I started... What I did last night, I was going through all the ones that have come in, and so I was kind of starting to check off and kind of filling in notes that this one was solved, this one's gone, this one's done, this one we haven't done anything else on. So I'm kind of doing a follow back through the 30 of them, that there's 27 of them or 28 or something like that going through. And then we got two yesterday, one today.
What?
Yeah, they come in daily. But you know, I run out, you know, there were some that I will call people and tell them that there's just nothing doesn't rise to the level. It doesn't mean that there isn't, like I had one about a business that, you know, was having too much junk around, and you cannot run around a Gestapo. I mean, we have, so, you know, I talked to the owner of the business, and I said, you know, maybe if you move these two trucks and hauled off that one, you know, but I mean, as far as it rising to anything, you know, that kind of stuff. That, you know, the horses, we did send a certified letter out to the people with the 5 horses that went out this morning. Scott hand-delivered to the site. So what now, I'm actually hand-delivering because you get tenants. And I was back out there yesterday, and the lady that owns the horses showed up, and she saw me and drove straight in. That was my greeting. She knew who I was. We'd already had a discussion 3 weeks ago. So, so we got that one out, and I, you know, there's another person that's moving some stuff in. These are all cable, moving stuff in on a lot, and so I went out and took photos of that. And I'd already been out there one other time, but this time I called the owner and talked to the owner of the property, and he told me he's going to start cleaning it up, And so I told him I'm going to send him a letter, so it's formalized, but I think he will. He said now when this summer business is over, we'll start getting that junk out of there, and he actually wants to retire there, put a new structure. And so, you know, and he talked about the sewer. He was saying, hey, when are we going to actually get a sewer so I don't have to spend any money updating the septic system? So that kind of what Kitty's saying. So, you know, we just kind of bounce around town on these, and I had a lady, I just said, you know, that she was upset because someone had two big tires. I'm not taking that on. We'll leave that alone. So, you know, it's fun. But definitely people are liking code enforcement, except those being enforced. I should say it that way. I think the public definitely.
And they're noticing.
Yeah. And you had a question here.
I was going to ask, is there a red building update?
Well, yes. They actually filled in the hole, you know, the hole in the front. They had some dirt piles. They scooted those around. They are supposed to be coming in and mowing those weeds because the realtor wants to sell it, so it helps if you get it mowed. Got an offer. Yeah, and then today we worked on, they had a fairly high, I mean, they inherited a fairly high multi-thousands of dollar bill that they didn't know about, sewer and water and late fees from the old owners.
The red building?
Yes. So the bank vice president called, you know, wanted to know, he says, hey, would you help us with that? And so today I sent him out an offer. It's kind of what you get sometimes from medical clinics. If you owe money or something, they'll say, if you pay us this much cash, you know, give a discount to get it paid off. And so we will hopefully, he emailed me back, said he would talk to the president, but they would probably issue a check before the end of October and pay that off.
They did pay something on it. We didn't transfer all of it until all the foreclosure went through in July, and they did mail payments for what was charged each month up to this point. So they were consistently paying before we offered them a discount.
This was the back stuff, I guess.
Yeah, this is all back stuff.
It's like $5,000-$6,000.
Which the rate study, we're working with that to eliminate those types of problems too. The rate study was very impressive. Sorry to interrupt, but I'm impressed with them.
Are they going to paint the building? You said something.
Well, he said, but if it's selling, no one's going to go paint it if it's selling. So, I mean, look, you have to look again. There's 100 of those in town, and so if you have one that you think's getting taken care of, you have to put your energy on the ones that aren't. So, you know, you look at that. It's steps. They filled in the holes. They got it listed. We're clearing up the water sewer bills from the past. You just take these in steps. So, no, is it going to be painted? I have no idea. Let's hope it sells, and then it will get painted.
Well, I just get questions about it.
Yeah.
That's all I right. want is an update.
So that's kind of where we are
on
that one. I went to the Parks Board meeting last night, and the only thing I'd say there is that we're not going to be due to you know, the staff changes over there, and they're going to have to work on their budget a little bit, try to get it updated. They're going to call their budget committee back and have a full process, I guess. And so the annexation or UGB expansion, I would say it's 1 to 3 years, so no one needs to worry about that. It just can take it out of your head for a while, because they have to. And I actually support it. When Robert had asked me about it before, I said, well, you know, I would go ahead and move forward on it. But after sitting there for 2.5 hours and hearing, you know, the issues that they're trying to deal with, I would say the annexation probably should come off the table, because you do have to deal with the things that you have in front of you that you need to. So, and we did also contribute $2,250 tonight. It's signed, I think, there for the skate park. Remember, in the budget process, we had allocated $2,250. The sheriff, same guy, the lieutenant sergeant, was there last night. I think people are learning, and all of you cohorts here come up with these projects. Well, there's always the, you know, so. people are getting, they're having problems with the kids, and it's not problems, it comes with when you, you know, you give a place to congregate, but you know what, if it's not there, it was on the picnic tables next to the library.
Right.
So, when you build a skate park and a fountain this close, that becomes where people hang out. And that's where people, if you're suspended or expelled, you know, that's where you're going to go, because then the kids coming out of school, your buddies, that's where they all are, and you know, not everybody's in a church pew. You know, I mean, that's just a fact of life. And there's some that are smoking. And so they were just on the, you know, Huntington Meadows, we should actually talk about that, Huntington Meadows, a little bit. But, you know, they're like, they were, you know, saying, you get down there and worry about smokers at the park. Well, so I think, again, that lesson to us always is always just, you hear me say it, I think last month, just always think through the things you build and you just do, because one thing causes another. And, you know, kids are going to congregate, kids will litter, and they will smoke. That's gone on for decades. Go watch Happy Days. I mean, you know, that's just, you're just not going to get away from it. So I think people need to understand that. You know, we've had a couple emails come into us because they come in on our, people think it's a city, so we get, they come in on our website through our complaint department. Yeah, and then we send them on. I always try to respond, say, hey, you know, we'll pass this on to them. So all in all, that skate park's doing quite well, and the kids are using it, and I think it's positive. I don't know what you think, yeah. Conrad.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, like, I drive by it every day, and I know you always hear the problems about it, but I think there's more good time spent there and happy. You know, kids love it. I think I see at least 10 bodies there every time I drive by, and they're getting better. I see videos. One kid got sponsored because he was able to start skating. So just things are happening. Good things are happening for the kids. And you hear about the bad stuff, and I hope people can see the good stuff, too.
Yeah, so. And you know what? If they weren't smoking there, they'd be smoking 100 yards away. I mean, that in and of itself isn't causing someone to smoke. I do want to talk to Stu about some garbage cans, though. Not there, somewhere else.
Oh, okay.
We brought it up, and I don't know if you did, or when I was just thinking, I've been thinking about it for a couple months, and just haven't, you know, my brain went off to other things, but then I think about it when I drive by it, was to have a couple, three roll carts put in the route to the fast food restaurants. And where, Stu, could you get the, in Mattress, the roll carts, Mattress Sanitary does it where you put the, you take off the lid that flops like this, and you put one where it's more of a, you know, you put garbage in through a,
right.
Yeah, and then Mattress Sanitary has those, and then they put those out, the city pays them a monthly roll cart, and they come once a week, and the truck just comes by and dumps them. And I thought, as a temporary, because actually when we get the whole street redone, one of the things I want to do is we'll incorporate some benches and garbage cans with our streetscape after First Street's done. That's a year and a half out. So I was thinking, and it seemed like you talked about it. We talked about it here, and you know, if you guys could tell me if you could get those kind of lids on top of those, get two or three roll carts, we could put them at the corner first, one up here, then one in the middle. And I was looking today at there's like warning sign, you know, type things, and you just put a chain, or you can put a chain around or a bungee cord just to keep the wind from blowing it over. No one's going to come steal a garbage can. But it's sort of routine. Maybe people here would steal roll carts.
Yes.
Okay. Do it. All right. Well, then you change it. But you change it to the 4x4 post. So anyway, I'd like to do that, and you know, but I got to work that out with Stu. I'm not asking you to donate. I mean, I think that's just it's a monthly bill.
I think it's a great idea. And
that was because you also mentioned in the island, because we're going to do an island out there. That was definitely Conrad's thinking.
You see them walking from McDonald's, and what have they got in their hand? One's a sandwich here, or holding the hand of the girl that's walking around, and a Coke in the other one.
Yeah.
And it's in a and I guarantee you, before they get back to school, that cup will be on the ground somewhere.
Right. Yep. Sure.
You know, there aren't anywhere in the city.
No.
Yep. It's an issue we'll get to do.
Yeah.
We deal with project soon. What's that coming?
I said we can get it all in, and then we can put them wherever we'd like.
Yeah. I guess. But I do think you need to talk to, these people are here and what your thoughts are, Huntington Meadows, the officer didn't probably want to say anything there, so maybe we can just, I sent an email to Captain Utter, so he knew the topic was here. His sergeant will probably tell him, and just tell him you need to work on this. As far as the other things, we just put in 5 street lights, spent a few $1,000 on that, and I don't know. I mean, what else we can do at this point? As far as like our violations of our nuisance abatement codes. I mean, again, if you were going to get super picky, but compared to Kegel, there isn't anything over there that rises to a Kegel issue. So you have to kind of take these in priority. I mean, you could go nitpick that somebody has but it's, again, you just don't have the piles of 300 garbage bags and, and you could go pick on one or two, but I don't know that solves too much of a problem. So I don't know what to do with the issues over there. So you guys are all going to have to give ideas.
Can we use the council's influence to encourage the sheriff's department? Maybe it's starting with the sheriff himself down, that there still seems to be a great deal of animosity and of course, whether these are old things when it was called, that place across, 2 years ago, because we've had these discussions before.
Right.
And or is that new stuff that's going on, or we could encourage or at least ask the sheriff to develop some kind of plan with the HOA. Because they're our citizens, and the only way that we can really provide support is by encouraging the sheriff that I see.
We can send a letter and have you guys sign another. We did that a couple of years ago.
But I was just amazed. I was made aware of new circumstances just a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
On one of the yards, there's been some kind of grass killer sprayed out at night. One of the Rena, who's very sight impaired, she loves to keep everything neat, and she was threatened that they're going to come in and rip out all her bushes and they're going to tear down her fences. And she doesn't bother anybody. She tries to talk to them. I tell them just try to engage other people too and be nice. We have one lady that kind of aggravates everybody, mm-hmm. part of it. But the stealing of the gas again, getting on people's property and taking everything that can be moved. And that's just started up evidently in the last couple of weeks. I had no idea.
We had hanging flower baskets stolen off our front porch. The same night, they left someone else's folding chairs to a lawn set, mm-hmm. on the sidewalk and took our basket and left us their chairs.
So this is just vandalism there?
Well, they're pranksters.
Pranksters, yeah.
They're taking stuff from one and leaving it 3 blocks away and... Yeah.
Do you think, is it the people who, are they targeting those who have targeted them?
This is from, these young men that I understand are 19 and 20, they're brand new people there. Yeah. They just got rid of that house full of troublemakers.
And it's a rental house?
Yeah.
Who manages it?
New one.
You do, the trouble house, this house?
Well, we're not sure. We need pictures or something, but we think it might be their teenage kids. They're not the ones that are stealing, though. They're just apparently moving stuff around. There's other people that are stealing.
They're doing some positive things, too. Kathy was getting messaging back and forth on Facebook last night. Everybody is turning their lights on.
Right.
You know, getting the whole neighborhood to keep their porch lights on.
Yes.
You know, that does as much good as anything.
Well, and if we could just have the sheriffs come and give some ideas of what we can do, if there could be a commitment there, because you've got a lot of homeowners that are interested, mm-hmm. and that will keep their lights on and things like yeah. that.
As usual, there's a lot of really good people there
yes.
and dedicated, but it's just three or four bullies that kind of intimidate and threaten those that happen to be.
See, if somebody needs to send me the addresses of the bullies, just so that I know where they are. Oh.
We can do that.
You know. Because I mean, because on one hand you'd say you got all these people here. You see, if they're only two or three out of the whole neighborhood, it's you can deal with those. If it's bigger than that, because of we've talked before. You know, you get into some of these issues, and you know, I've had people say, well, they're kind of on call it the side of these folks. But then when you talk about other issues, you know, well, my motorhome. Now, these are the responsible people. These aren't thugs. These are not running around. I mean, these are the 80, 70-year-old people. You know, well, I can't park my motorhome here. So there's friction over there through lots of different little webs. And so you have some of the pukes that are doing stuff. You've got some of the folks that like having things tightened up, but you know, be careful with mine. You take the mid-state guy that parks his truck on the thing. I mean, I've talked to their bosses about it, and they've talked to him about it, you know, and he's, you know, and, you know, this guy's a union lineman. I mean, I don't think he's running around, but
no,
he might
but when
be.
He parks his car in front of another person's house, or he has to use her driveway in order to turn his truck around all the time, it's a feeling of a threat,
intimidation
constantly, yeah. And her car was key with nice letters and stuff on the side, so. Mm-hmm.
About a year and a half ago, didn't we have the sheriff come and give you cards to call the sheriff? Does he respond when he's called? I mean, they indicated tonight that when they're called, they don't respond.
Well, I think we've heard that consistently.
So. Well, they do respond in Kegel.
Do they now?
Yes, they do.
And they respond out in the county, whether you want them or not. They're all over.
Go ahead, Sue. There's been lately, because we've had vandalism to a lot of our equipment throughout town.
Uh-huh.
And this just started about a month ago. Hmm. And if, you know, we haven't had that problem for a year,
yeah.
or maybe longer. But all of a sudden, about a month ago, it started. And throughout the whole commercial district of town, I mean, there's been break-ins, there's been damage to the great big our locking containers, where the steel bars have been pried back. I mean, so it wasn't just in the neighborhood, it's throughout town. And, but now there was an arrest made. So they are out there trying to do their job. But when you get a lot of this going on at one time, it's probably hard. I'm not defending them or anything, but you know, I know right down the street here, the real estate office broken into twice in a week. So there's stuff going on in town. And
so could we have the sheriff's department come here and sort of talk to us again and us talk to them?
Well, he
was willing last time and said that if we had any trouble that we should have him back. So maybe that's what we need to do.
Well, he needs to hear it from these people, because
yeah,
when we have the sheriff here, I remember the last time, you did it appropriately, I think. We carry on like this, and in fact, then you were more agitated, mm-hmm. if you remember right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very agitated. And we got the sheriff here, and, you know, it was a bit of a kindergarten love fest. I mean, no one on the council really said, look, the level of service isn't acceptable. because I think it's harder to look them in the eye when you all like them and then you go, you know what I'm saying. So it doesn't do any good to have just to sit around the table. It does some good, but I think you have to have some passion, I think, from some folks who say we are not happy and we're taxpayers. But to just have us sit around and let him, you know, they can just say it's the same speech they would give in Terrebonne or Tumalo or we have too many calls, we have calls for service, we prioritize them. You can just hear the whole, you know. So I think that you need to let them respond. Those people weren't real happy, I think, when they left because I think they don't understand. Probably because they just got to say their thing and then they never got any response from anyone.
Well, Audrey was just saying that the Crescent Creek sent around a newsletter, somebody to all the, they're having problems
put
in
our
Crescent
stuff,
Creek.
Yeah, be sure to cover your window, put your shades down, don't have your computers, obviously.
Because they can see them.
So they can see them and put your hoses and anything. So we got
so maybe
to know
we should have multiple little meetings.
Maybe we need to help facilitate a meeting between the homeowners association,
the
homeowners, and the sheriff.
I'm not ignoring you out there, but this is council talk time, and it's just appropriate, and maybe we'll get to you a chance to say something.
If you'd like me to try to see that, to say that I can send email to the sheriff and say, I think you guys need to have a meeting with that we can have our building, or we can use this right here. Mm-hmm. And then it's more their meeting. If some of you want to sit in on it, I mean, that's fine. I think that you need the passion of the one gentleman who came back up a couple of times. You know, that, and some of those other folks, because I think that's how you get the message across.
Yeah. And I agree. Yeah, I called Captain Nutter twice with our situation. I didn't get a response.
Yeah.
You know, so there is a little bit of disconnection.
We've got to the point we don't call anymore because we don't get a response.
But I think,
you know, that's not bad.
Delucia seems to be, is it Delucia?
Yeah.
Is that how you say the name?
DeLuca.
DeLuca, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was, you know, there at the parks meeting last night. You know, he seems to be interested and engaged. And I need to call him and say, okay, what did you think of all, you know, this? And, you know, they obviously are coming over here and they don't like the fact, did he say the car was running? And like I said, the car was running.
Yeah.
While they're inside. So I got the impression the car's locked. It's sitting outside running, burning gas. And they're inside the office.
They do that. It's keep the air conditioning going to keep all their electronic crap cool.
Oh, well.
But I think you're right that it needs to be a discussion between the sheriff and the homeowners. And we facilitate it.
Yeah, okay, I'll do that.
And that, you know, I think I was president for almost 5 years, and that's why I'm just so tired of it. I'm just so frustrated. But I think I've been here a couple times when it's just been Greg and I and a couple of the sheriffs and stuff talking to them. They talk the talk, but they don't walk. And you may see them, you know, maybe for the next couple of weeks, you'll see them come through. There was a guy yesterday, and he went through all the blocks, and that's great. But then after 2 or 3 weeks, then
so in other words, when you complain, you show up.
Yeah, then it's done.
I probably do.
Cool.
Well, not that we want to stop this, and we can keep it going, but I think the solution is that City Manager write a letter.
You know, if I get those folks together. And I'll call Utter, I'll call Luca and Utter and just say, you know, let's get these people in and let that go. Because, you know, there were some that didn't speak here. That was a pretty nice group of people.
Yeah.
And you know, ask yourself, would you live in that neighborhood? It's an interesting question.
That one lady.
Right. She said that. Don't answer it for the record.
No.
But
not about you.
You know, but I think it's.
I think it's important that we have this discussion because they took the time and energy to come here. I think what we're going to do is a good start to showing that we heard.
One other thing I thought we could do, and I've been thinking about talking to Public Works about it with Deschutes County, is to put a couple. Basically rubberized speed bumps. All those are things that just irritate troublemakers. Now, they can irritate others too though.
Yeah.
see, so...
Including your garden.
Yeah, see, but that slows people down, and see, so that's, but that's all measures that you can do in areas if you're trying to change it.
Can I just say real quick, I think part of the issue for those of us that have been there a long time...
Thanks, Jerry.
Supposed to be an award-winning neighborhood, and that's how it was sold, for seniors and early families. So the number one thing, the county said no parking in the swells. You'll only have a couple of cars. Those go in your driveway. So all these things were laid out beautiful and great, and it worked wonderfully. It was a wonderful place to be until the crash came, and then came the drugs and the prostitutes and that. Whatever else.
Well, your mix is off. You have too many renters.
Yeah.
Your ratio, in that any time your ratio gets, you know, too, you begin. It's a single family apartment building. Mm-hmm. You know, apartment buildings have more trouble. Transitory people, they come and go. You have more issues. They tend to have broken down cars. It's the stuff that goes with youth, people that are sharing houses, and once you become a rental. You know, so I call it, it's a parking, it's an apartment building in single family homes. And, you know, a normal neighborhood might have 10%, you know, 90% are homeowners. But when you start getting to, you know, 30% or 40% are rentals, that's, because this, you could go to Redmond, you can go to Matters, the Huntington Meadows of Matters, because we have one, or two, and they were all built in the boom, and they all have higher number of rentals.
And two, it's supposed to be single family, and they'll have two, three families living in them, and six cars instead of two.
Well, you want to show her.
So, we'll work, maybe it's a work in progress.
Maybe if everyone on the council tomorrow gave Captain Butter a call, you know, if he heard from each one of us, it might get a little attention.
Let me get a hold of them first. I think, you know, I mean, you certainly can, but I think that, and then it starts to just irritate them if they think that, you know, I'll CC you on what I send him. Then see, he knows you're getting it.
Okay. Did we decide that you're going to send a letter to the sheriff?
Well, I'll just email to the sheriff and to the other, saying, I think based on the people that were here, there was enough folks that you need to have. You need to have a meeting with this homeowners group, and you know, we'll make our facility available, and you know, we'd certainly be there and help participate. We can together work on this.
Will you contact Susan?
That's exactly what I was going to ask.
I don't want everybody converging back on my home, because I really need that.
Yeah, well, I'll get her, but I want to see what he says, and then we'll. Yeah, but I know how to do it.
So I'll just tell him you're going to contact them.
Yes. Yeah.
Unbearably.
Susan can call me. I don't have an email for Susan.
Okay.
So someone can email me her contact.
Okay, I can do that.
Because I can send that stuff out at midnight. In order to get it done.
Council comment together.
I'm getting it.
Okay,
that's right. No, I can read.
I'm going to say one more thing.
Council comment.
There you go.
Go for it.
I do want to say thank you for everybody that's here tonight, just having the patience to sit through that, and for the council to talk through this, because it's been boiling again for a long time, and they need to be heard. I know, you know, sometimes there's not a lot we can do, but the process needs to be heard. They need to know that it's, you know, someone cares, and that it's not the ghetto that I was told it was by an officer probably the very first time after about a year and a half of living there, you know. So it just blew me out of the water. So I just want to say thank you to everybody for being so courteous.
Okay. Karen, you got anything?
Lots of good things have happened tonight, too. We've moved really forward with a lot of things. The industrial park was a dream of mine for them to give it to us, but I think this is the first step I don't think anybody gives anything away for free anymore. But at least they recognize that we need to be in control of everything that is in our city. And I believe that we took a step forward.
Okay.
Thank you, Rick.
Stu?
Well, first, thank you, Kathy, for, you know, allowing us to help you listen to it. And I'll increase my drive throughs. First, as a lot of you know, the skate park opened over the weekend, and Mr. Mayor, thank you for being there, and Kathy for being there, and if anyone else was there, thank you for being there. And it was touched on, you know, yeah, there's some problems going on there, but every city has them, and it's kind of growing pains. Something brand new comes in, you know, it was the same when the car wash went in. Everybody had to go through the car wash. Now, you know, it's just when your car's dirty. They are trying to address all the problems that are going on there, and it is nice to have them congregated in one place, because I do know, despite what we've been hearing, the sheriff's office has driven through there on numerous times just so that the kids know that they're there. And another thing, it's nice to know where all the kids are at. Well, I shouldn't be saying that.
Yeah.
Where everyone's at when something happens, because they know where they're at. So when the newness wears off, hopefully some of the problems or issues will fade away. What else?
Any extension on what we're going to do for Bob?
Yeah, I was thinking how to word that, and it all got twisted up in here. But yeah, the Bob Shotwell thing. You know, this is a very important thing, and it started from, you know, one person, Dick Tobiasen, you know, coming up with an idea. There is a committee put together. The high school has been contacted, as I mentioned. It's going to be in the auditorium. We're working with the janitor, Dave Mason, to get the audiovisual stuff put together. We're trying to find a vintage staff car so that two military policemen could go pick up Bob at his house and bring him back to the auditorium. We have the band of brothers from Lapine and from Bend are going to be there with kind of a stairway of honor so he can be pushed up in his wheelchair. We have the NROTC doing the posting of the colors. I'm talking with the music director for the band and the choir to sing the national anthem and then Bob's favorite song.
Together Again?
No, how he picked it, but what on the, what's that, how's it go, on the trail again, or happy trails again. Happy trails again. Yeah, that's his favorite song, Roy Rogers. So we're going to see if they can sing that. We're also working with Lee Hicks, is it, at Jake Steiner. For a display of World War II vintage equipment, you know, like helmets. We got the okay from Matt to use rifles and, you know, handgun displays as long as there's no ammunition. That's the one thing that they don't allow is ammunition.
You don't need any ammunition.
Also,
no.
Also the Sun River Corporation for the uniforms and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
I haven't got back to it yet.
Okay. So emails are going out to ask for, you know, help when it's needed. So right now we're waiting for Dick to come back. He's over in France right now getting some more sand. So as soon as he gets back, we'll come at it for full force. But I want to thank...
Do you know when you're doing it?
The day before the
Veterans
Day.
Oh,
yeah. So, thanks to Rick and to the mayor for going over the proclamation that I drafted. It needed some taking out. There was some stuff that, yeah, was a little gory and everything. And
more detail than you needed in a proclamation.
Yeah, yeah. And a couple word changes that the mayor made, but. Other than that, that's all. I'll shut up so we can get out of here. Thank you.
Greg?
Yeah, I'm just going to shut up too.
Conrad, give us a big, long talk about school. It's just getting started, so.
We had school elections this year. I know my position here on the student council, or the city council, was part of an elected position, and we worked with the city to get me on here. I was re-elected for that position. Most of the time it's a two-year position, but obviously being a high school senior, I will not serve my second term of this. I don't know what it's called, but this term. So at the end of this year, I'll be off to college somewhere, and I won't come back every Wednesday a month to sit on this meeting. So as we get near the end of the school year, we have a couple student council people who are interested in taking over, so you'll see we'll hopefully work through a transition. That's where I'm at. I'm looking forward to finishing up a year here, and yeah, that's where I'm at.
How about a comment about FBLA, and you went back east. We haven't heard anything about that. That'd be great.
During the summer, myself and five other students qualified for nationals for the Future Business Leaders of America. And so we traveled to Tennessee for a 6-day long trip. We competed, and neither of our teams made the top 10, but it was still a great achievement to be there. I mean, the kids who compete there, it's like the Olympics of FBLA. It's the top of the top. These kids dedicate their lives, all their time to studying. And so just to be there and be able to compete on a level with them was fabulous. We had a great time, lots of good times, lots of, some competing and just lots of good times, bonding with the boys and enjoying Tennessee. We got to see some historic sites, did all sorts of cool things, and that was a great experience.
What did you go down there? What was your...
My event that myself and two other of my teammates qualified for was sports and entertainment management, and we took second place at our state level in Oregon. And then that qualified us to go to nationals in Tennessee.
Thank you.
And what about the black eye that Tristan?
Oh, I think, are you talking the literal black eye that he hit himself? Yeah. We were swimming and he hit his nose against the pool wall. He came up quicker than he thought. There's some blood and some black eyes. But
just part.
Part of swimming, I guess. The wall gets there quicker than you think.
So we will not meet. We'll see everyone. We'll see you at the League of Oregon Cities on Thursday or Friday.
Our next meeting will be on the 8th of October. And actually, thank you. This has been a great council session, and I appreciate everybody's input. And thank you very much, staff. Good reports. Good work. Entertain a motion to adjourn?
Second.
To adjourn.
Oh. That's something. That's what I'm saying.